Good evening. So last night we began to talk about the halacha from the Gemara Pesachim Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, "Kala mitzvahs kula mevarach aleihem over lasiyasan." Before one performs a mitzvah, whatever type of mitzvah it is, one always has to recite a bracha before doing so. We presented the kasha that Rabbi Lehrer was mechaved into, but it's really the kasha of the Stechemed, quoting other achronim, that if in fact the Gemara tells us in Nedarim Daf Yud, this is a Gemara we've been discussing the last couple of days. But if the Gemara says in the Dharm Daf Yud that when a person is makriv a carbon, is makdish a carbon, he has to say carbon la Hashem, and he's not allowed to say la Hashem carbon. Why, says the Gemara? Because we're concerned. Maybe you're only going to get through the first word of la Hashem, and you're not going to get to say the second word carbon, and then it's going to be motzi shem shamayim levatala because chayshin on the misa. Whatever the reason was that in this particular case v'choshesh the misa, but basically that was the Gemara's suffix, and that's why the Gemara came to the conclusion that one has to say Karban LaHashem. So ask the Stechemed an obvious question. If that's the case, that we're Chayshin LaMisa because of Losisa Shem Hashem Alekech LaShav, we take Shem Hashem so seriously, so then why would Chazal Masakin that a person always has to make a bracha over Lasiyasan? Why would Chazal Masakin that I always have to make the bracha before doing the mitzvah? Why don't you have the same concern over there? I'm going to make the bracha, then something's going to happen, Rahmana Litzlan, something's going to come up, I'm not going to get through my mitzvah, and then it turns out that over Lasiyasan was really a bracha lebatala. Why weren't Chazal Masakin the other way? I should do my mitzvah and then say the bracha, because this way there's no chashash of a bracha lebatala, there's no chashash of motzi shem shamayim lebatala. So that's the kasha of the Stechemet. So one could answer as follows. We said over a couple of days ago that there's a famous machlokas Tosis on the Rambam. For those who remember, and for those who were here and listening and awake, I guess, so Tosfos says there's a major difference. This is really what Rabbi Horowitz said last night. We're just putting a little more lumdus into the answer that he gave. Tosfos says that the Isser Da'araisa that the Gemara talks about in Tmura Daf Dalet of Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatela is not the same as Bracha Levatela. Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatela, just saying Hashem's word, that's a violation of Eloisa Se Da'araisa, of an Esse Da'araisa, whatever it is, of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. That's what the Gemara says in Tmura Daf Dalet. Tosfos says in Brachas Daf Lama Gimel that to make a bracha levatala, that's not the same. Bracha levatala is only asa midrabanan. To be motzi shem shamayim levatala by itself, that's an issa d'araisa. To make a bracha levatala is an issa d'rabanan. So according to Tosis, you can understand here. The whole issa to make a bracha levatala is only an issa d'rabanan. We have a concept in Chazal of hey mamru. The hey mamru means Chazal made the rules, so they're allowed to say when the rules apply, when the rules don't apply. So they made the rule in the first place that there's an issa d'rabanan of bracha levatala. So over here they decided, because we want a person to make a bracha before he does a mitzvah, and like the Ritva explains in Pesachim Dav Zayin, why do we encourage somebody to make a bracha before he does a mitzvah? In order to show with very clear actions that everything I'm involved in right now is not simply because I enjoy holding a lulav and esrog, not simply because I enjoy putting a talus over my head. Rather, I'm only doing it because Hashem told me to do it. That's why I recite a bracha, dafka over lasiyasan. So if you hold like Tosfos, that the whole iser of bracha levatala is only nisa d'rabanan, then you can understand here that Chazal put their own isser to the side when it came to making a bracha over lasiyasan, and they said that the isser of bracha levatala doesn't apply, and therefore they were not concerned of the concern that the Gemara has in Nedarim Daf Yud. Over there in the Gemara Nedarim Daf Yud, we're talking about b'motzi shem shamayim levatala. So that's a very nice answer. The problem is, what if you hold like the Rambam? Again, the Rambam said in a couple of places, the Rambam said in Hilchos Brachos, as well as in other places, the Rambam writes very clearly that there's one generic isra of Yerushamayim, that a person has to have, as Hashem Elokech Atira means, not just that I'm not allowed to be Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatala, but it means I have to take the Shem Hashem seriously. And that means, whether being Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatala, that means reciting a Bracha Levatala, both of them fall under the same rubric that a person has to be careful not to recite Hashem's name in vain. And a Bracha Levatala is the same issue d'oraisa as Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatala. So if you learn like the Rambam, that a bracha levatala is an isra d'araisa, so then how do you explain? How are Chazal Masakin over here? That you make a bracha before performing any mitzvah over lasiyasan, why weren't they concerned of the same concern the Gemara has in Adarim Daf Yud? The Gemara says you have to say karban l'Hashem because we're concerned that Rahman al-Litzlan, the person, won't make it through the sentence. What about over here? You recite a bracha. Why aren't we concerned that you're not going to make it to do the mitzvah? So how do you explain according to the Rambam? So far so good? That's the kasha. So the answer one can suggest for this Rambam is as follows. The Ritva writes, a very famous Ritva, it's quoted by many Achronim in different contexts, and we'll show how this really shows up halacha lemaisa in many different places to explain a lot of different things. But the Ritva writes in Chulin on Daf Kuf Ches as follows: Hanotel Yadav Del Pas. What happens if a person washes his hands? He wants to eat a meal, and then he decides Nimlach Milachol. Then he decides, I wash, but you know what? I don't have so much time to sit and have a meal and then to bench and everything with the challah and that. Not interested. But he already washed. So is he mechuyev now, because he already washed and he made a bracha al matilas yadayim, is he mechuyev now to go ahead and have bread, even though he decided in between the washing and the sitting down to the meal, he decided, I'm not interested in washing, I'm not interested in having a meal, not interested in having to bench. So does he have to go ahead and have the hamotzi dachman aretz anyway, in order that his bracha on the netilas yadayim should not be a bracha l'batala? This is the suffix of the Ritva. The Ritva says no. If a person decides in between the time that he washes and the time that he sits down to the meal, which is a whole of 2 seconds, you're not supposed to be mafsik. Gemara says, take if l'netilas yadayim bracha. A person's supposed to wash his hands and then eat the bread right away. So therefore, the Ritva says, it would not constitute a bracha l'batala even if I change my mind in between. You don't have to go ahead and eat the hamotzi. As long as in the first place you really wanted to eat and you were washing with kavana to really eat a piece of bread, and now you change your mind in between, says the Ritva, it's not a bracha l'batala. Why? Because the Ritva explains, at the time that I was standing at the sink to wash my hands, was I doing a mitzvah or not? Yes, I had a mind to eat. So right now, Chazal tell me, before I wash my hands to eat bread, you have to make a bracha. So I did what I was supposed to do. Later on, you decided that you don't want to go ahead and follow through, you don't want to eat the bread. Okay, it doesn't matter, but at the time that you were doing what you were doing, at the time that you were washing your hands, you were doing what you were supposed to do. You were making a bracha because you thought you wanted to eat bread. So in such a case... So 1 second. What do you mean? Now what?
Change your mind.
Change your mind when? So 1 second. So says the Ritva, over here, it's a good question. Says the Ritva, over here, when I was standing by the sink to wash my hands, I was making a bracha on a maisa mitzvah, and at the time I was doing the right thing. So you have nothing to worry about later on. It's interesting to note, there is a Tosis which seems to assume not like this. Tosis has both in Ksubas, Tafayim Beis, and in Menachos by the Sugi of Svira Sa'omer, where the Gemara talks about Svira. As we know, we all have the minig to make a bracha on Svira Sa'omer Bizman Hazeh. Even though Svira is not a mitzvah sese deraisa Bizman Hazeh, it's only the Rabbanan, still we make a bracha on Svira. And Tosis there points out other cases where we also have a mitzvah to count things. Do we also recite a bracha on those countings? What's an example? So Tosis talks about a zava. The mitzvah is that a zava has to count shiv nekiyim. Nowadays, we count shiv nekiyim. Our wives are not really zavas, but we're all machmir like a din zava. So it's not the same halacha. But a real zava, a bona fide zava that the Torah talks about, the halacha is she has to count shiv nekiyim. So Tosis says, why don't you recite a bracha on the counting shiv nekiyim the same way we make a bracha? And then you go and you count the day. So how come every day of Shiva Nakim a woman doesn't make a bracha? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam al Sfira Shiva Nakim. And then you go count Hayom Yom Echad, Hayom Yom Sheni. Every day you make a new bracha the same way we do by Sfira. Why don't you do the same thing? Says Tosis, you know why? Dechashinan Shematir Vetister. What's going to happen? What's the whole point of the Shiva Nakim? Is to make sure that she checks herself that she doesn't have dam in those days, and then she can go to the mikvah. So what happens if she makes a bracha tonight? Then tomorrow morning she sees dam. So Tosis says, because we're concerned shematir v'tistar, because we're concerned that she's going to see dam within the shiva nekiyim, and that's going to throw off the whole cheshbon, she's going to have to start again. So therefore you're not allowed to recite a bracha on the shiva nekiyim. What do you mean? Didn't the Ritva just say that if at the time that I'm doing a maisa mitzvah, am I doing a maisa mitzvah? Yes. Am I washing my hands? Yes. So you have to make a netilas yadayim. What does it matter later on that I change my mind? What does it matter later on that something changes, that dam comes out and it turns out the shiva nekiyim or levatela? It doesn't matter. At the time that you were doing the maisa of svira, you were doing the right thing. So it would seem, evidently it would seem from Tosis that he holds not like this ritva. Right? That's the pashtus. What? So how do you deal with svira? So svira is a very good question. So some say that every day of Svira is a separate mitzvah. Others say that Svira is really biyadi to make sure that I count every day. You go to shul, the chazan counts Svira, you make sure you do it. When I'm counting Shiva Nakim, it's not in my hands. What am I supposed to do? I'm doing a Svira of Shiva Nakim. How can I make a bracha? Maybe something's going to happen, a mistake is going to happen, it's not really my fault, but what can I do? So perhaps there's a distinction there. It's just interesting to note, people don't really point this out so much, that this ritva by Netilas Yadayim seems to be in disagreement with this Balei HaTosis about Sfira Shiva Nakim. But be it as it may, that's the way possibly we can answer for the Rambam. Again, the Kasha is the Stechamet asks, How were Chazal Masakin that you make a bracha over Lasayasan? Why weren't they concerned that maybe the person won't make it to finish the mitzvah? And then it turns out that his bracha was the batala. Well, the answer is the same way the Ritva says. At the time that I'm standing at the sink to go and wash my hands before eating, am I allowed to make a bracha on Matilas Adayim? Yes. I had changed my mind later on that I don't want to eat. Doesn't matter. I made a bracha on the Maisa mitzvah. Well, so too over here. When I'm about to do any mitzvah, I think that I'm going to do the mitzvah. I make the bracha. Later on, the Ribbono Shel Olam has other plans and he doesn't allow me to do it. What can I do? That's not a bracha levatala. I did what I was supposed to do right before I perform my mitzvah. So that's perhaps an answer. The Chasam Sofer writes in a tshuva, based on this ritva. Anis Rechman HaPatri, correct? Correct. Similar. Right, so there's a more lumdish answer than just saying Anis Rechman HaPatri, which is the easy way out. The ritva's answer is a more Ritva style answer. You know, Ritva always makes everything geschmack. So the Chasam Sofer writes in a tshuva based on this Ritva, a very interesting nafgamina la'alacha. We know there are times when a person, let's say, is mafresh truma. Person is mafresh truma, he sets the truma aside. Let's say he has this whole basket over here is full of truma. Then he sets, it's full of tevel. Then he sets aside a little bit of truma, he puts it over here. Then it turns out that it gets mixed back in. So what do you do? And everything's still right here. So what do you do? So the Gemara says it could be shoal on a truma. It could be shoal on the truma, meaning, even though I was mafresh the truma 10 minutes ago, but now something went wrong, I can make like a hataras nedarim. So I'm matir my afrashas truma. And I say, what I was mafresh before really shouldn't count. I will start back to the beginning. Everything's tevil again. And then you set aside the truma again. Ask the Chasam Sofer, what do you mean? I make a bracha when I'm mafresh truma, lahafresh chala min ha'isar, lahafresh truma semaisis, whatever bracha you're going to make, ask the Chasam Sofer, how are you allowed to be shal on the truma? It's going to turn out that your bracha is a bracha levatala. So how are you allowed to do that, says the Chasam Sofer? The answer is pashut. Because if you learn like the ritva, when a person makes a bracha, when he does a maisa mitzvah, is he doing the right thing? Yes. Circumstances change later and something's going to turn around about the mitzvah that you did. Doesn't matter. It's too late. You already made the bracha. You did what you were supposed to do. You don't worry about that. Now you move on forward. Even if the circumstances call upon you to now be shal on the truma, doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make your bracha a bracha levatala. Similarly, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank explains, based on this, the Gemara has a concept of afkina rabbanan lekidusha minei. Sometimes a person gets married, and later on in the marriage, Chazal came along and said, you know what, we're not happy with this marriage. And they said, the whole marriage from the first place is not a good marriage. Afkina rabbanan. It's as if this person never got married at all. Ask Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, what do you mean? We made all the shever brachas at the time. We had a Masada Kedushin got up. He made a Bar Piyar Guffin. He said the Kaddish, he was Mekaddish, the Isha, everything. He made so many brachas. How are you allowed to do now? Afkina Rabbana Kedushin Minei. It turns out you're making all these brachas of Atala. Every night you had a shever brachas. How are you allowed to do that? Says Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, same thing. Just because 50 years down the line, circumstances change, and now it turns out that we have to be Mafkia the Kedushin, that doesn't make a difference. Right now, when the Chassan and Kala are getting married, are they supposed to make a bracha? Of course they're supposed to make a bracha. So it doesn't matter that later on, circumstances tell us that we have to change our minds for whatever reason it is. Rashi writes in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chav Dalet, a very important Rashi. It's true, but the problem is, how are they allowed to do it if it's going to turn out that the bracha is levatala? That's the kasha. So to that, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank says, like the Ritva said, it's not a problem in such a case. There's a very fascinating Rashi in Masechta Shabbos Daf Chav Dalet where the Gemara talks about saying Anenu on a Tainus. It's a very interesting discussion there. It seems that they used to say Anenu even on Leil HaTainus. Many of the Rishonim learned that you say it even on Leil HaTainus, even though we don't fast. Leil HaTainus, we never fast. We only start the Tainus by Alos HaShachar. We start in the morning. Still, many Rishonim learn up from the Gemara that they used to say Anenu Balad. Our minig is not to. Rashi says from the Gaonim, why not? And this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, this Shita of the Gaonim, Tavkuf Samachay. The Mechaber says that we hold like the Gaonim that we only say it Mincha Anan. Why? Why do we only say it Mincha Anan? Says Rashi, B'shem the Gaonim, because maybe you're going to end up not fasting, and Nira Kimishaker B'dvarav. Turns out that you're lying. What do you mean? Asher B'tzalel HaKohen Mivilna. What do you mean it turns out you're lying? Right now when I'm davening, am I fasting? Yes. So if I'm davening right now, can I say B'yom Tzom Tani Say? No, of course I can say it. What do you mean? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So Asher B'tzalel HaKohen Mivilna, I don't understand. Why can you say Anenu and Shachris also? Because Rashi quotes the Gaonim. The reason you can't say it is because Nira Kimishaker. What do you mean? When I do any mitzvah and I say a bracha on that mitzvah, even if later on the circumstances change and say that what I did at the time was invalid, but right now when I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm allowed to do it. And I'm allowed to make a bracha and I'm supposed to make a bracha. So why don't we say Anenu and Shachris as well? It's an unbelievable kasha. There are B'tzalel HaKohen Mivilna asks. Perhaps his answer, I think, is in line with what somebody mentioned over here before, and that is that Netilas Yadayim perhaps would be different. Why? Because by Netilas Yadayim, once I do the Maisa HaMitzvah, I'm finished. Once I wash my hands, that's done. Even though it's supposed to be a prelude to my meal and the meal never happened, doesn't matter. But that Maisa HaMitzvah is separate. When I sit down to the meal, I now make HaMotzi Lechem in Haaretz. But what happens, let's say, in the case of Anenu, in the case of a Tainus? If I say Anenu in Shachris, am I done? No, my mitzvah is nimsheches. It continues on and on and on. It's not that I do the Maisa HaMitzvah and I'm finished. What?
You're not done in Menachah either. Oh!
So it's an excellent kasha. So the Mishnah Berurah says, or it's right. The Mishnah Berurah says when you say biyom tzom tani senu, he says as long as you davening mincha after half of the day after chatzos hayom, it's as if you already had. It doesn't mean you're supposed to go and eat. So it doesn't mean you're supposed to go and eat. But the Mishnah Berurah explains that's why we say by mincha. The real mincha is supposed to be davening on a tainus late. That's exactly why, because you can say biyom tzom tani senu with assurance because you're about to daven ma'ariv 10 minutes later. That's when you say it. But the other achronim say, even if you say mincha by mincha gedola on a tainus, still you're allowed to say biyom tzom tani senu, because you already did rov of the tainus, and since you made it through rov, you're allowed to say biyom tzom tani senu anyway, it won't turn out that you're kemishaka. But perhaps that's a difference, it's a distinction between the two sugyas. Just to end off with one beautiful kasha, again, we've been dealing with the sugya in Nedarim Daf Yud, where the Gemara says you have to say karban la Hashem instead of la Hashem karban, and it's interesting to note, the Tosfos Yeshanim has in Yuma a very beautiful kasha, where the Gemara has in Yuma Lamates that the Kohen Gadol used to go on Yom Kippur. It's in Yana Diyoma, we're holding by Elul. So when the Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol used to go on Yom Kippur, Taref Bekalfi, he would take out one piece of paper and put it on the Sar LaShem, one piece of paper and put it on the Sar LaZazel, and it would say, what would he say? LaShem Chatos. Ask the Tosfos Yeshanim, how do you say LaShem Chatos? The Gemara says you have to say Chatos LaShem. You have to say Kadosh LaShem. So how does the Kohen Gadol violate the rule here? How does the Kohen Gadol go ahead and say Chatos LaShem Chatos? He should say it the other way around based on the Gemara Yuma in Nedarim Daf Yud. It's an unbelievable kasha. So one teretz perhaps is the whole premise of the Gemara in Nedarim Daf Yud of why you have to say Karban LaShem, the Rush explains, is because maybe you'll be chozer in the middle. Because when I'm being mafrish a karban, cost me $500 to take this behema and offer it to the Beis HaMikdash. So I say LaShem, I have such heilige kavanas, and then I say to myself, hey, I don't really want to give all this money. And I decide I'm not going to give it. So then it's a shame shamayim levatela. But over here, it's not the Kohen Gadol's money. We put two animals in front of him and we say, be mekadosh one of them as the Sar LaShem, be mekadosh the other as the Sar LaZazel. There's no chashash that maybe he's going to be chazer in the middle. What does he care which one ends up being the Sar LaShem, which one is the Sar LaZazel? It's not costing him anything. When it costs us money, we care. So maybe we'll be chazer. When it doesn't cost us anything, it doesn't make a difference. So perhaps that's an answer why we can differentiate between the sugya of Yuma Daf Lametes and the sugya over here of Nedarim Daf Yudim Abay. Yeah.